Happy day, everyone, and welcome to this inaugural podcast. I'm so excited to share with you my latest travels, tips, insights, and inspirations on the air. I thank a blog reader of mine for suggesting that I start podcasting. This is a great way to share, learn, and get connected with what's happening around you. I hope to be bringing you podcasts at least monthly. In these podcasts, I'll be covering the information that I share on my website blog. So how do you find my blog? From your favorite web browser, navigate to my website, www.copperrangellc.com, and click blog. It's on the upper left side of the front page. My blog posts have the great photos behind the stories, so definitely make a stop to my webpage so you can check those out. Also on my website, www.copperrangellc.com, you can also view all my images, learn about me, and keep up with my art show schedule. I typically do 4 to 7 art shows a year, where you'll find my work for purchase. It's a great way to shop my photography in person and meet me. We know there's a lot of information out there on the internet, in podcasts, on social media, on Facebook, and the list goes on. We also know some of it falls in the category of junk or fake information. So, you know, what that means practically is that each one of us has the job of being informed about the sources of our information. You know, we need to ask ourselves, who am I listening to or reading from? So before I get started on the podcast, I want to answer that for you. Now, I have a very long resume and decades of work history, so I'm only going to hit the highlights. Currently, I'm in my second career as a wildlife nature photographer. I'm also a business owner. I founded my own photography business. In my now second career, I'm also a certified wildlife professional, which means I have a certificate in wildlife rehabilitation, but I'm not a licensed wildlife rehabilitator at this time. That may come. I'm just not doing that right now. And before doing all these really exciting things in my second career, I was an assistant inspector general at the United States Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. This is what's called a position of public trust, and it's executive level work in the federal government. That was the last position I held in the federal government before I decided to retire about 2 years ago, and that was after 25 years of really rewarding and very enjoyable public service. My educational background is that I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a PhD in social psychology. I have an extensive research and public administration background. So now on to the news from the blog. Let's do this. This past September, I visited Hawk Mountain Sanctuary in Kempton, Pennsylvania, where I took part in a 4-day raptor trapping and banding course. And the raptors I'm talking about are hawks. Hawk Mountain Sanctuary and places near it are located along a major raptor migration route. Every fall, many species of North American raptors migrate from their northern regions to their wintering southern regions. That makes Hawk Mountain a perfect location to capture and band raptors. And here's a few quick but really important words on bird banding. By banding, I mean placing and securing a lightweight, small aluminum band around what's the equivalent of a bird's ankle. Banding requires capturing a bird, collecting certain measurements on the bird, and releasing it unharmed. All banding in the United States is supervised by the United States Geological Survey, Bird Banding Laboratory. There are links on my website blog to these organizations and more information. What's really important to remember is not just anyone can go around capturing and banding birds. Capturing and banding birds can only be performed legally with federal and state permits. The Bird Banding Laboratory distributes uniquely coded bands to licensed banders. They collect reports on banded birds, and then they share that information with the banders, researchers, and those who report the band. Every band that's placed on a bird, including the raptors that were banded in the course I took with Hawk Mountain, is reported to the Bird Banding Laboratory. The other information that gets collected and reported to the Bird Banding Laboratory is the bird's species, age, sex, weight, certain wing measurements, the date, time, location, and how the bird was caught. And, you know, figuring out a bird's species, age, and sex isn't always obvious or necessarily easy. This is particularly the case if you're dealing with immature or juvenile raptors or really birds of any type. So banders may have reference materials that they use in the field to help with those decisions, and I saw some of that when I took my course with Hawk Mountain. However, frequently banders can rely on their years of experience to make accurate identifications. You know, so why capture and band birds? Let's just pause for a minute and think about that. Birds are good indicators of the health of our environment. Bird banding supports studies of bird locations and migration, their behavior and social structure, how long they live, their reproductive success, and changes in their numbers. So having data on bird populations is important for identifying and understanding ecological issues and for developing effective management and conservation practices for birds. So you may have heard about the really huge study on declining bird populations that was published this past September in the journal Science. You can find a summary of this article online, and if you'd like more than a summary, there's a small fee to buy the article. The title of the Science article is Decline of the North American Avifauna. Now, if you just plug that into your web browser, you'll get links to summaries and other articles on this, you know, really important research, really groundbreaking and important research. So the study reported an alarming decline in many common birds. The major finding was that since 1970, North America has lost more than 2.9 billion birds. One of the study summaries I picked up and I reviewed is from Smithsonian Magazine, and that's dated September 19th, 2019. That's also available online. To conduct the bird study, Smithsonian reported that the science researchers used nearly 50 years of bird monitoring data collected largely by bird watchers and citizen scientists. This includes the North American Breeding Bird Survey, done by the United States Geological Survey and the Canadian Wildlife Service, Audubon's Christmas Bird Count, and the International Shorebird Survey. The researchers then cross-referenced this bird count data from these sources I just mentioned with radar data from 143 weather satellites that have been used to track migrating birds at night for the last decade. So that's really cool and very different. If you participate in the Audubon Christmas Bird Count, congratulations, because the data you reported may have been used in this groundbreaking study. You know, and to underscore what the main finding from the science study was, I'll read this quote from the Smithsonian Magazine summary. In less than half a century, the avian population of the continent has declined by 29%, or more than 1 in 4 birds. You know, why this matters is that birds are considered indicator species, meaning we use them to infer the health of a whole ecosystem. Like canaries in the coal mine, which was the 20th century practice of carrying caged birds into mines to detect toxic gases before humans would die from them. It's a very powerful and important study, and there is actually good news in it too. Not all species are in decline. The good news reported by the researchers at Science is that wetland birds are up 13%. Waterfowl, which is a subset of wetland birds, are up 56% from 1970 numbers, and raptors, including eagles and hawks, and game birds like turkeys and grouse, gained 250 million individuals since 1970. That is really good news. Raptors in particular have recovered from severe losses since the government banned the pesticide DDT, and particularly eagles, bald eagles is what we know, has improved. Their numbers have improved since the government took that bold and important step. Dedicated conservation efforts, including habitat protection, smart land use, public education, and dedicated funding for species protection are also major factors that have supported secure and increasing raptor populations. So, are you a bird lover and watcher? Keep your binoculars and your zoom lenses focused while you're out and about because you may come across a banded bird. Banded birds can easily be reported online to the Bird Banding Laboratory, and I strongly encourage you to do so. Not too long ago, I came across a banded trumpeter swan in northern Ohio. And these images are on my website blog, along with a story about this particular incident. And I reported the banded trumpeter swan to the Bird Banding Laboratory. Shortly after I reported the band, I received this very cool certificate, and I learned that the swan was a 12-year-old female, which I thought was just so cool. What the certificate and the banders told me is that she had been banded before she learned to fly and in a location on Lake Erie about 20 miles from where I took my photo. So trumpeter swans can live 20 to 30 years, and this meant she was on her way to a very long swan life. Thank you for listening today. Visit my website, www.copperrangellc.com, where you'll find links to many of the issues in today's podcast. You can view my wildlife and nature images, send me an email, and keep up with my show schedule. Have a great day.